This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Jan, editor for My Broadband, welcome. And you're going to tell us about massive load shedding on the cards since Eskom has been denied pollution exemptions. What does that entail?
Good afternoon. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on. So, yes, this was a story that came through this morning where the Department of Environmental Affairs, now Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment, the letters that they had sent to Eskom dated 30 October were published. And basically what it boils down to is Eskom had applied for several environmental exemptions for the sulfur content that it puts out into the atmosphere. It's actually recently been reported Bloomberg reported that Eskom is one of the world's worst polluters when it comes to the sulfur in particular. The environmental department just said no. They provided some exemptions to some power stations, but for Matla, Duva, Matimba, Madupi, and Letabo, it was declined completely. And the postponement applications to postpone, you know, the date by which it needs to comply with the environmental regulations for Mayuba, Tutuka, Kendal, and Kriel were only partially granted. Eskom said that this means that it would, if the environmental department's decision was implemented, it would immediately have to shut down 16 gigawatts of installed coal fire capacity. That is, to put that in context, that is 16 stages of load shedding that it would have to switch off immediately. And so that's hence why it would it would cause massive load shedding for South Africa, for Eskom to have to switch off that amount of its installed capacity. The next thing on the cards is for Eskom to go to the other ministries and ask for them to consider the various factors, the fact that there's not enough water for it to scrub its emissions around the power plants and so on, that needs to be taken into account, and for some sort of compromise to be reached. But otherwise, as things stand, Eskom has until 2025 to comply with the national regulations on its sulfur emissions. It wanted to extend them to 2030 and also to allow it to increase its emissions. So it currently emits 3,500 milligrams per cubic meters, and it wanted that increased to 4,000 milligrams per cubic meters. The department just said no. That's where we are right now. Hopefully we'll get some certainty from the various government departments in the coming days.
It sounds like we're caught between a rock and a hard place. You can either have dirty, polluting energy, or you can have almost no energy, and we don't have alternatives to replace our coal-fired stations, and they're in a pretty powerless state. So it doesn't sound like there's much light at the end of that tunnel.
Yes, and so this is why there's some pretty aggressive, ambitious goals to transition South Africa, and what Eskom and government is calling this is a just energy transition from coal to more renewable sources, to cleaner sources of energy. That's not something that can happen overnight, but certainly what's happened is that wealthier nations have offered us low interest financing of 130 billion rand to get that kick-started. As part of their commitment to help lower, polluting gases in the environment that's causing climate change. And so, you're 100% right. There's always trade-offs to be made. And right now, basically South Africa has no way to just completely switch off its dirty energy. Mm. It's going to be a years-long process to switch away to cleaner sources of energy. But whether Eskom would be able to do that by 2025, I don't, for all of these power stations that's been named here, I don't think is realistic. Mm. So that means that we're going to be stuck with the dirty sources of energy for many years to come yet, and some creative problem solving is going to be needed to move away from that. So the 130 billion rand will certainly go some way, provided we can actually get our hands on it. But the money alone is not good enough. You need time and you need skills, and time is running out. And Eskom certainly has a bit of a skills problem at the moment. It's certainly not looking good. Mm. But as I said, regarding this particular issue, the 16 gigawatts of energy that Eskom would have to switch off if 2025, we'll have more certainty on exactly where things will stand in the coming days or weeks as Eskom writes to the various ministers about this.
Right. I suppose Eskom could go to the person, gentleman, I don't know, I'm assuming, who blew 4 million rand on Black Friday in South Africa. On what?
Yes, and ask for some money. Yes, so we don't unfortunately know how many items were bought or what exactly this person spent their money on. But what we do know is that it was a single transaction that flowed from a credit card. It's just a huge amount of money, and they're not the only one who spent a large chunk of money in one go. There were a couple of instances we heard from the banks where, you know, someone had spent 600,000 rand in one go, another person 450,000 rand in one go. So a couple of very large transactions going through on Black Friday. So certainly there are a few people out there with lots of money, and they seem to have saved up a chunk of it to try and catch some deals on Black Friday.
It sounds like, I would guess, 2 discount Ferraris perhaps. And finally, iPhone 13 prices, comparing South Africa against America and the UK.
Yes, so this was an interesting one. We looked at the price of iPhones as you said, in South Africa compared to the UK and the US. And even compared to the UK, the South African prices are quite high. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say even is because the US prices, when you do just a direct dollar conversion, they exclude sales tax, right? So sales tax can range from 2.9 to 7.25% in the US. In South Africa, our sales tax is VAT, which is 15%, right? So much higher than in the US. But even if you factor that in, and if you look at our pricing compared to the UK, which local distributors often tell us to do, the prices of this stuff in South Africa remains high. And honestly, that sounds to me just like a supply and demand issue. There's been this global chip shortage. It's very difficult to get your hands on an iPhone 13 in South Africa, and so they pretty much get to charge what they want. You know, it's within reason, but it's still, you know, you're looking at 1,500 rand or more that you're paying in South Africa extra compared to the UK. And the United States, it's much more than that. You know, you're looking at price differentials of 4,000 rand, even 6,000 rand on the high-end models between South Africa and the United States. The unfortunate thing about being so far away from everything, you know, you've got the shipping costs, but there's also a lot of tax
that gets loaded onto
cell phones.
Okay. Of course, there's always tax. Thank you very much, Jan. That is fascinating, and either way, we're going to be out of pocket.